Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue in our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you, we are still in our study to the verses of the final chapter, that is Quran chapter 9, which Muslims claim to be the final revelation which Muhammad received from his angel Jibreel. And we have to understand from reading these verses and just share a few thoughts about them as we look at the great Muslim scholars' interpretation, we find out something is missing there. Something is not done right. Maybe Allah or maybe Muhammad did not know that his time on earth is about to be gone. It seemed to me when you read these final words of Allah that Muhammad thinks maybe he still have maybe 10 more years or so to live in this world. But in reality, it was actually the year before the last when Muhammad returned to Mecca and then he died. So let us move on to the next portion of our study, and that is concerning the bold statement which before verse 17, which reads, Muslims are not allowed to let anyone into the mosque who do not believe and pay the religious tax. That is what we call zakat. Those who only take the pilgrimage are not on the same high level as those who perform jihad. You see in Quran chapter 9, Muhammad emphasized a lot about jihad. Not like previous chapters, especially all the early chapters of Mecca, where Muhammad never mentioned jihad whatsoever. People always ask me, Brother Usama, how do you know if the chapter of the Quran is Mekki or Medini? The answer is very simple. If you see verses teach violence, that is war, jihad, crucifixion, beheading, and on with this barbaric teaching of the Quran, you know without any doubt, it is Medini chapter. And the more savage the verses, the more we know for sure that this is late in the end of the life of Muhammad. That's why I believe Quran chapter 9 is 100% the final message of Muhammad to the Muslims because of the huge amount of violence and hatred in it. So now we're talking about people visiting the mosque. What mosque? The mosque which was in Mecca. You really try to tell me that there was a mosque in Mecca? Construction building and maybe also have some minaret and maybe also have some electricity and big speakers. Of course, there was no mosque in Muhammad's days. And I'm amazed that Muslims are insisting that there was a mosque in Jerusalem which Muhammad went to and visited in his secret visit, which happened only in his dream, I guess, before he was ascended to the seven heavens. So once again, let me emphasize on, there was no a building like a mosque as we know it today in Muhammad's days. Muhammad died and there was no mosque in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. As a matter of fact, we know now from the more study we do about that great city of Mecca that there was no Mecca in Muhammad's days. Or maybe there was never was Muhammad to start with. But let's move on with the words of Allah in Quran chapter 9. Beginning from verse 17. For there we read, it was not for polytheists to visit the mosque of Allah. They witness against themselves with infidelity. Those, their works are in vain, and in the fire they will abide forever. Once again, let me say, there was no mosque like a structured building where Muslims go into to pray is not reality. I know that there was Kaaba, which was the black building for all the people who worship whatever. Muslim scholars assured us there were 360 ilah, 360 gods inside that Kaaba. And Muhammad did not have any problem with all these gods being there for the first 40 years of his life before he claimed to be a prophet, and in the following 13 years of his life when he was living in Mecca. Later, when he began to mock these gods, that is when he was no longer welcome in Mecca. And that's when he migrated to the city of Yathrib, a Jewish community where he went there first as a migrant, but then later he actually took over the city, renamed it after himself to be the city of Muhammad, in Arabic, Medina. When Muslims invaded the city of Mecca in the year before Muhammad died, that is when he was 62 years old, they actually destroyed all these gods except the black stone, which still exists until today in one of the corners of the Kaaba. And once again, that Muhammad's silence about all these different gods all these years when he claimed to be a prophet is a great evidence that he cannot be a true prophet of God, because if he was, he would have done like all true prophets, as we read about in the Bible, rejecting these false gods and the worship of the false gods, even if it will cost some of them their lives. And the more we know about the pilgrimage, which used to be in the early days of Muhammad, the more we are shocked to know that Muhammad did not reject their actions. For example, before Muhammad, people used to circle the Kaaba nude. That is, men and women circled the Kaaba nude. And Muhammad did not have any problem with that. As a matter of fact, the good excuse Muslim scholars give why Muhammad did not go to perform the Hajj 1 year before the invasion of Mecca, it's because he said that there are people there who are circling the Kaaba nude, and that's not appropriate. Excuse me, Mr. Prophet Muhammad, you did not have any problem with it all the years of your life. Why now is a problem? I personally believe it was just simply a good excuse because he was afraid that he maybe would be killed, and he wanted to secure his visit being there as an invader with large number of invaders with him. And that's how the story ended, as Muslim scholars claim. What is the message of the verse? It's very simple. Non-Muslims are not welcome in that area where there used to be the Kaaba. Continue with verse 18. Surely only those who believed in Allah and in the last day and performed the prayer and bring the legal alms and fear no one except Allah can visit the mosque of Allah. So perhaps those will be among the guided. Once again, the language of Allah in the Quran is a little bit insecure. What do I mean by that? Allah gave us the list of the people who can visit that area where Muslims claim to be a mosque. Who are these people? Those who believe. Which means what? Which means every other person who is not a believer cannot be there. Wait a minute. That is the place where all these people used to go anytime, because that's where their gods are. No, only Muslim believers can be there. So the interfaith meetings, which lasted hundreds of years, ended when Muhammad have his military men, 10,000 or so, who came back to the same place to wipe out every other religion, to remove every other god from that location. And by the way, that is the blueprint which Muslims have used as they continue to invade the known world of their days, which is known today as the Muslim world. So before they came to Egypt, for example, Christians can build a church, can do whatever they want, because after all, it is their own country and it's their own beliefs. Well, after Omar came to Egypt, just within a few years, now we signed against ourselves the Pact of Omar, which will not allow us to build a church in Egypt or even remodel a church in Egypt or even erect a cross on a building in Egypt, and so on and on with the rest of the dictatorship rules set on us by the Muslim invaders. And this should be a great lesson to us for the future of America, because the more we allow Muslims to come to America, the sooner the time will come where Christians in America cannot remodel a church or build a church. Sounds fake, doesn't it? But guess what? That is a reality. If you don't believe me, ask the Christians in the 57 Muslim countries in the world today. And just watch what's happening in Europe, because it will be here soon. So now we see from that verse, Quran 9:18, that only the believers, those who believe in Allah, those who believe in the last day, those who perform the prayer, I'm talking about the Muslim 5-daily prayer as stated by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, those who give the legal alms, that zakat, money is taken by Muhammad and the follower successors after Muhammad, which is the fund they use to run the political Islamic state, those are the only ones who can visit that site where Muslims claim it to be a mosque. And then the weird statement, which is repeated all over the Quran. As Allah stated, so perhaps they will be among the guided. Excuse me, are they guided or not? I mean, they're believers. They pray 5 times a day. They give the zakat. And after all that, maybe they will be guided. Allah does not know if they're guided or not. Allah here uses the word perhaps as it is a good excuse in case it did not work. Where is assurance in the guidance of Islam? So if I became a Muslim today and I do all the things of Islam, maybe I'll be guided or maybe not. Yes, indeed, that is a fact. And the proof is very simple. In the 17 times when Muslims pray, Quran chapter 1, you know what they say? They always say, guide us to the straight way. Never heard it once in my life of any Muslim, those who are in their 40s, 60s, 80s, or even one step from being buried in the tomb of old age. Never once I heard a Muslim man or woman say, oh Allah, thank you for guiding me. No, they always ask Allah to guide them to the straight way even until the end of their life. And that is the true nature of Allah, the God of Muhammad. He is the God of perhaps.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at Vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Verse 19, move on to the good work, how Muslims thought, or some early believers thought, that they can do good work to please Allah and they don't have to leave Mecca to migrate to Medina to join Muhammad to have larger number of jihadis. That is when we read, do you make the giver of drink to the Burgums and the guardian of the forbidden mosque like those who believed in Allah and in the last day and performed jihad for the sake of Allah? What a strong, great question. Why is that? Because as I told you earlier, here Muhammad is emphasizing that giving drink for the people who visit Mecca or protecting that place where they call it a first mosque is not like those who perform jihad for the sake of Allah. Allah directly stated in the following sentence, they are not equal before Allah. You can do all the good work you can do as a Muslim believer, thinking in your mind, on your head, that you are just as good as others who perform jihad. But the answer is, no, you're wrong. Jihad is the highest goal, the highest place for any Muslim believer to be for appeasing and pleasing Allah. And we'll see that even more as we continue with the reading of the rest of the verses of Quran chapter 9. They are not equal before Allah, and Allah will not guide the unjust people. Notice here's a break here between people who are guided and people who are not guided. Don't forget, if you do all these things of Islam, maybe you'll be guided. How you will be guided is very simple. It is when you perform jihad, now we know for sure you are guided. Otherwise, you're a Muslim doing all these good things of Islam, but not performing jihad, and you are of the unjust. The word unjust in the English language is just an easy word. We use it without even thinking about the depths of it. But in the Arabic language is the word zalimin or zalimun. That is the name for all the people who will end spending eternity in hell. Imagine with me, you better as a Muslim perform jihad. Otherwise, you'll be of the unjust. You will spend eternity in hell. As we're going to see a little bit more in the verses of the Quran. You see, in the following three verses, Allah gave us a little bit more insight about His love for those who perform jihad for the sake of Allah. And how many types of jihad we see in the teaching of the Quran. As we read the bold statement before verse 20, Muslims who perform jihad with their money and their lives for the sake of Allah are of great worth. Oh, you perform jihad, you have a better position with Allah. You have a better future for eternity. You're not of the unjust, but you are being loved by Allah. Says who? Says Allah in the following three verses. In verse 20, we read, those who believed and emigrated and performed jihad for the sake of Allah with their money and with their lives of the highest degree with Allah. And those are the triumphant. The Lord gives them good news of mercy from Himself and of His good pleasure and gardens. They will have in it everlasting bliss. They will abide in it forever and ever. Surely Allah has a great wage. It's like you do work for Allah and Allah pay you back. Even when you give money, Allah states in the Quran that you are loaning Allah a good loan. Imagine that with me. Giving money as an option of jihad is a blessing. Giving your blood as a second option of jihad is even greater blessing. And that is the two types of jihad, which most people of the West do not know. When in reality, we know that if it was not for the money, Muslims could not perform jihad with their lives. It costs money to launch rockets on Israel. And that money is not only used to buy the weaponry, but to take care of the families of these men who sacrifice their life for Allah. Otherwise, who's going to fight? Or why do you fight? Just to lose your life? I know that the great reward is to be in paradise, as Muslims claim. But Muhammad and Muslims throughout the history of Islam, the last 1450 years, always needed money to perform jihad. A good example of that. Under Mr. Donald Trump, Iran was almost bankrupt. They did not even have money to provide food and medicine for their people. And they were broke. They never sent a nickel to Hezbollah in Lebanon or to Hamas in Gaza to perform the physical jihad against Israel. But behold, Mr. Biden came and he gave the people of Iran the money which they needed to perform jihad against Israel. Without money, Iran could not go to war against anybody. But when you got the green money, now Iran performed jihad from Lebanon and from Gaza against Israel. So jihad with money fit perfectly with jihad with their lives. And it is the first step for the true bloody jihad. Once again, the Quran said, those who believed, so they are Muslim believers, and migrated, that means they actually in Muhammad's days, left from Mecca to Medina and performed jihad for the sake of Allah with their money and with their lives of the highest degree with Allah. That is the best thing the Muslim can offer to Allah. It is to perform jihad with your money and with your lives. How Allah rewarded those people? It's very simple. Verse 21, Allah said, He gave them the good news of mercy from Himself and of His pleasure and gardens. Allah is pleased with them and Allah rewards them by the gardens. We can talk a little bit later about the gardens and what Muslim men will get in the gardens, which is more immoral teaching than any person who believes. The reward of those who believe in Allah and practice the commands of Allah. How long they will be there? They will abide in it, that is in the garden, forever and ever. They will never leave it. Surely Allah has a great wish. Allah is generous in His giving to those who believed in Him, who performed jihad for His sake. Now I have to conclude our study today by sharing this very important fact. when Muslims migrate from country A to country B, coming from any of the Middle East to America, for example, if the whole purpose of them leaving their country to go to this far, far away land, America, say for a better life, say for education, say for the democracy and the freedom and the beautiful life we have in America. When Muslims do that, they become sinners. They become infidels. They will actually die and spend eternity in hell. Are you serious, Brother Usama? Yes, indeed, you heard me. The only way migration can be pleasing to Allah if it is followed by performing jihad. You cannot practice half of the verse of the Quran and skip the other half. You are a believer, yes. You migrated, yes. What is the most important step after that? It is to perform jihad with your money and with your life. If you cannot afford it financially, some other Muslims will pay you and you'll have all the money you need to perform jihad for the sake of Allah. In Islam, for Muslims to come to America with the intention not to perform jihad is sin. That's why Allah calls these Muslims hypocrites, which, by the way, we call them in America moderate Muslims. Why? Because these are the Muslims who teach and practice not to perform jihad with their money and with their lives. That's why Allah in Quran chapter 9 verse 73, which we will be talking about in a later program, Allah in that verse command Muhammad to perform jihad against the Americans, the infidels, and against the Muslims, the hypocrites, who are here in America and they're not willing to perform jihad for the sake of Allah. All this is coming in our study, and that will bring us to the true understanding, to the true nature of Islam concerning the final word of Allah, Quran chapter 9. And to continue our study, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.